Blog Talk Radio.
Collective Wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Shank, and Joan Adams and I host the show. Our guest this evening is Julia Rogers Hemrick, author of The Easy World and Rediscovering Eden. Julia has had the Easy World vision for many years, and now she is walking the walk. She joined us before, and now we are happy to have her back with us again. The call-in number is 347-205-9200. Joining me now is Joan Adams. Hello, dear Joan.
Hello, Kate.
How are you?
I'm ready to live an easy world. There's
holiday
time around here, so.
Oh, you guys are having a good time.
Oh, yeah. Busy time. Busy time. Fun.
Well, Julia is not on right now, so you and I are going to chat.
Okay.
We can do that.
We can talk about how wild and crazy it is.
Well, you generally have a great easy world kind of time around Christmas, and as far as I can see, it's all year round.
It is all year round. It's crazy, and
we have fun.
Yeah, we're learning. I think we do better with it as we go along. You know. We've simplified.
Dr. Seuss hats.
Right.
And,
put on a couple of crazy hats and keep on going.
But, alligators.
Alligators. But we have simplified the holidays a lot, which is helpful. It really is. And we've just cut it. We've never been just crazy wild anyway. But, you know, like some people just go nuts with it all. But we have simplified things.
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
And that helps because it the main thing is that we all get together and have fun. You know.
Yes.
Now we don't get together with my family, but among our little family we do.
Mhm.
Over the holidays and of course Betty Rush will be in next week as we do our time together next week.
Nice.
For the holidays.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, and she'll be here. We have our big dance, and she comes for that, and we go to this one dance every year, so she's coming for that, and that's become our tradition, and she'll be here 3 or 4 days, and that's my sister, for those of you listeners, and we will, you know, we'll enjoy being together and have fun.
Yes, and Julia is on now.
Good.
Hello, Julia. Julia, are you there? Or maybe that isn't Julia, maybe just a listener, not just a listener. Yeah, So Betty Rush is coming in. Did you get my message about giving? I don't think I have your address. I have her address, but I wanted your address, specific address, and Nancy's address.
Yeah, I'll send them to you.
Oh, I must have missed them somehow. I will double check. I will definitely double check. But it's fun to think of you all going to a dance next week.
Yeah, we will be dancing Thursday night. We have a party Wednesday night, actually. We'll be going to that, and then we'll be going to the dance Thursday night. So
mm-hmm.
we'll have a big time next week.
Yeah. And then she will go before the actual holiday, before
yeah.
the 25th. Well, actually, she's coming after Thanksgiving, long
after
before
Thanksgiving.
Christmas.
She comes in after Thanksgiving and before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, my tree, my goal is always to have my Christmas tree up before Betty Rush gets here. And what has happened this year, we converted the Halloween tree to a Thanksgiving tree. You know, we decorated my Christmas tree for Halloween. The grands and I.
Oh, that's a great idea. Great
idea.
Oh,
we had more fun. Well, anyway, it was wonderful. It was full of spiders and bats and stuff. It was delightful. They had a ball. So now we've converted it, and it's a Thanksgiving tree, and we're putting little cards in it about what we're thankful for.
Mm-hmm.
So Betty Rush will probably see a Thanksgiving tree rather than a Christmas tree. But she really doesn't care a lot anyway.
No, it's actually kind of a green. I saw this wonderful artificial tree, which was bright fluorescent pink.
Ooh, wow.
I loved it.
Well, mine looks like
one?
A tree.
Yeah.
Mine, but it is plastic. But we've just enjoyed it. Oh, golly, we've had the children and I have had a ball with that tree this year. And we pulled it out early October, and it stood there until we got it decorated for Halloween. But we've had a big time with it, and we will continue to enjoy it.
Yes.
Jessica wants to decorate it all year. That's our granddaughter. She wants to decorate all year round. And you know what? I might just
Why
do
not?
It.
Why don't
you?
Know?
Yeah. I mean, why not? Who cares?
The
They'll have a good
fun.
Time.
I remember
Long
when I was young when people would keep their trees up to till Easter. There was so much judgment about that. And I just say, well, what the heck? I mean, if somebody is having fun, let them, I like the idea of keeping it up all year round.
Well, Jessica wants to decorate it for each season.
Mm-hmm.
And we may just do it. Years ago, when we were newlyweds, we would come south in the winter because there was no golf in Northern Virginia in January and February. And we would go down one coast of Florida and come back up the other, and we were young and crazy. But my Christmas tree stayed up until we got home on Valentine's Day every year.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, so that doesn't, I don't have a lot of inside rules about that kind of thing anyway.
I think they're going to bring me on.
Oh, good.
That's Mary.
You unmuted me. Hi, my husband was just talking to me, and he said, did you get in? And I was answering him, and then you unmuted me. Hello.
You are officially unmuted. Hi, Miss Mary. How are you?
Well, I was thinking of all the ways. Well, we're actually discussing all the great things that Joan does around the holidays and just the different things that we do to gather around us ways to remember to be an easy world.
Yeah.
And that would be one way, is to have the fluorescent Christmas trees and ornaments all on it all year round of different seasons and just to have, you know, just to have fun.
Right. Mary, what we were talking about, we decorated my Christmas tree. The grandchildren and I decorated the Christmas tree for Halloween.
I heard that. That is so fabulous.
And
I
then
absolutely
we redid
love that idea.
For Thanksgiving. So now we now we have a Thanksgiving tree in there. And she wants to do it year-round, and I don't know why not. We'll hang sand buckets on it in the summertime.
Yeah, that's right. And then you can make it into July 4th, it
right.
can become an independence tree.
Right.
Yeah.
And we may just
that
do
would
it.
Be great.
She would love
well,
it. She says it needs to be Christmas every day anyway. And I
mm-hmm.
think she's right. Why not?
Well, I think she's talked you into it. Or we have. What are
actually, whatever she says, I'll do anyway. Within reason, I spoil them terribly. But,
well, you know, with this year, you know, usually the holidays for me have traditionally been just a really challenging time. And with the prayer blog, I must admit, and all my other spiritual practices, I really was looking forward to this holiday season. And I did. I had a little meltdown last week. It was just, you know, everything kind of came up. And then I cleaned out that energy. And now it's sheer excitement. My daughter, who's been away for 6 months, and Kate and Joan, you were there when she left, the weekend she left, and I was on the prayer blog, and Kate, you validated how traumatic that was. Well, she's coming home tomorrow, and, you know, just baking the pumpkin bread and changing the linens, all these things that I did with just total focus and intention today. And I just had this perfect day of just being in the moment and enjoying doing laundry and, you know, cleaning up after I made the mess in the kitchen from the pumpkin bread. And I just really focused on just being in the present and just savoring everything, the smells and the, you know, how the linens, like when you take out clean linens, they have that crisp kind of feel. And so it was just a really magical day, and I must admit, Kate, you know, this morning starting off with that prayer blog and just not thinking ahead of, you know, oh, my goodness, I need to get in my run, I need to do this, I need to do that.
Yes,
instead, I
yes.
said, I'm just going to have time for everything I need to do today, and it just flowed. It was amazing.
Oh, that sounds like a beautiful day.
Oh, I love
day.
That. Yes, yes. And it's easy to get into frantic mode. And everything I planned today was one of those days when it didn't work. And, you know, and I ended up running here, there, and yonder. But I had a good time. I had fun. But it wasn't on the list, you know. I didn't get anything done that was on the list. The list will have to be redone tomorrow.
So you couldn't check that one off because it wasn't on the list, yeah.
It wasn't on the list, yeah. But that's all right. It was fun. We had a good time.
I did have the opportunity over the last week or so to put the prayer blog back together because I think it was the 1st and 2nd of May, Krabby's Beach crashed.
And I remember that.
It didn't lose any of the prayers but lost all the pictures. So it's all back together. I'm still making it look a different way than I had. I'm not changing the theme or anything, but changing it a little bit. And anyway, but the main thing was that the messages that come out of that prayer blog and what everybody contributed to it, and it was almost like everybody did their own prayers in the comments and stuff. And it's really quite a standalone spiritual practice, I'd say.
Yeah.
The prayer blog. Yeah.
It's been interesting. I was fascinated by the fact that you had been looking at it from a year back.
You know, it's
I
the most
looking
amazing
at a whole year. Yeah.
Absolutely. I mean, some of the things I forgot all about. It's like writing a journal and going back and reading your journal, except it's not private. It's something that's very public.
Mm-hmm.
And
you've got responses to it.
Everybody wrote stuff that was on their minds and it was very interesting. It is a very interesting experience. And so now I think I have to do something with it. And I would like to submit it for publication and because I think a published book is something that will help with the overall interest in our spiritual retreat center.
Yeah, you know what would be good too, Kate? Is to have, and this is flying off the top of my head as usual, but to have a blank space after each one.
Yeah.
A journaling space.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's a beautiful idea. That's a beautiful idea.
365 pages, and you would have to leave room for writing at the end. So if it was more than three, you know, if it was more than one page, you'd still have to have. Because I think anytime you're doing that kind of work, You want to make notes.
Mm-hmm.
I do. Mm-hmm. I write all over everything.
Mm-hmm. That is an absolutely brilliant idea. And then not only is it the 365 days that we all experience together, but then it goes on and on and on.
Right. It becomes their 365.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
The readers. It belongs to the reader at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes. And here we are. We've gone beyond 365 days already, and now it's 383 days.
And still
That's
counting.
That's amazing.
I know, and it's like there's a never-ending well of creativity. And sometimes now getting back to Julia's terms in her book, she calls it easy world versus difficult world. Well, the difficult world editor, you know, comes in and says, well, you've said everything you can possibly say. You can't possibly say this in any other different way. Or, you know, it's funny how the voice of the linear mind or the rational mind, which wants to make you feel doubtful about your overall abilities, creeps in. And then, you know, if you can just see it for what it is and just laugh, because after all, every day is a new prayer.
Well, did you see the video that I posted yesterday on Facebook or last night? It's a clip from a Bob Newhart show, and it is hysterical, but the lesson is there. But basically, he's the shrink, and he's got a patient that's come in, and she says, well, she's terrified of being buried alive in a box. And he says, well, I can solve that with two words. He says, you know, and she says, okay, what's that? And she's writing down everything he says, and he says, stop it.
You know what, I remember that show. I used to watch that show religiously.
Oh, I
that
loved
is,
him.
I
but
remember
it makes
that.
It, you know, so stop it, you know. So when you get that little guy going in your head that says whatever, you just say, no, stop it.
Stop
not going
to
play
stop
that
it.
Game. Not going there. Not going there. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not going to play that game, right.
Right.
That's
right.
Funny.
Oh.
No, I must look at that. I must look
yes.
at that. That's great.
You'll crack up. And I'm sure I saw the show, too, but somehow last night it made a different kind of sense to me because I do that. I'm working on this local marketing course. In fact, that's where I saw the video. And it just makes sense. I mean, stop all the stuff and stop all the excuses and stop all the negativity and let's just do this thing, you know?
Yeah.
Just stop
and
it.
Move forward.
And move forward, yeah. Take a step ahead. Why not? It's better than a step backwards.
And, you know, you've been talking, Kate, about today's blog was just so powerful in so many ways, but you talked about, you know, why do we need to keep practicing? And the reason is because it's so easy for these voices, the naysayers, you know, to come up. And what I'm finding is over time, and tell me if you both have experienced this, my guess is you have, that the time that it takes to get centered again is less and less, and it comes with greater ease.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
yep.
I think that's true. I think that's true. Yeah.
I think that, it's so we discover different tools to bring close to our hearts in order to use these things for when we feel, I would say, tested.
Yeah, we take a step back and say, what do I do with this? Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And become more of an observer than immersing into what is not from spirit,
right.
Not from God, Goddess.
Right.
Yes.
And recognize. And it's about recognition. And, I mean, I like to put a space around it. I sort of think of it like, you know, somebody has... I'm thinking, I don't know why, Kate, why is Vendine boots coming into mind? Are those what they put on, like, if somebody's skin is raw?
What is it called?
Some kind of a boot. I think a Vendine, but I haven't been in the medical field for 4 years now, so.
Oh.
No, I don't know. It's some kind of boot that they put on, like, if somebody's got a sore that's not healing.
Yeah.
And they put this soft boot around it so that it has a chance to heal.
like a pressure sore.
Right.
Yes.
So they put this boot on it to protect it and to make sure that it heals. So when I get into that space, I just, you know, I use that image of just putting something around it, creating a space around it, and giving it that opportunity to heal. And, you know, the tools that you offer in the blog, you offer the work. I love that, the questions.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Those questions and the Ho'oponopono prayer. And, I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And, something to do with the back of the book is to do the resources.
Yes.
Yes, of course. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how did you publish your work?
Mm.
Through, go ahead.
Yeah, I did it. I did it through Publish America, and I didn't have to pay anything to have it published, mm-hmm. and I retained all the copyrights.
Right.
And we've been through some challenges with them, but by and large, I have been thrilled, absolutely mm-hmm. thrilled with my product. And you know, nowadays there are so many options. Publish America is print on demand, but I see you as, you know, a Hay House author or, you know, one of the major publishing houses. I just really see that happening, Kate.
Well, I really like Hay House very much.
I like Hay House,
That would be my preferred choice.
It's
tremendously like a family there where everybody really cares about each other.
And Hay House now has a self-publishing option.
Ah, that's interesting.
Which is new. So that you're under Hay House, but you do have to pay. But Andrea Hurst is with, she has her own literary agency. You can find her on Facebook. And she works with Bernie Siegel. And that just, her name just came to me as well. And then, but I see you with, I just see you with one of the publishing houses, Kate.
Mm-hmm.
I really do, because I think this is something really big.
Well, it's really hard for me to see it until I read it, until I read over it. And it's not anything that came from me. It's something that came from some other wonderful inner source, you know, the source of all.
Right.
Because,
right.
Yeah, it's interesting. I remember going over the prayers over the weekend and seeing how many times it synchronized with the unity prayers. Wasn't that amazing how often
mm-hmm.
that happened? That the prayer for the day there was the same theme over at the Pray to Heal blog, and that happened a lot, and it still might be happening. I just don't ever look over there.
But it has to do with the universal mind.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, absolutely true.
Yeah.
And other themes that go through the book, I mean, not through the book, but through the prayers of peace.
It is through there. It already is.
Through the book.
It
is. The book. Yeah, is the will to live and, you know, rising up triumphantly against all odds, like you, Mary, like you have.
Mm.
And, you know, not calling your disease a disease and not naming your so-called disease a disease. And and another thing that came, I wanted to bring up, the Hoyt, Team Hoyt.
You talk about synchronicity. Actually, there's going to be a show on tonight, a special on HBO.
Uh-huh.
How did you connect with Team Hoyt?
Well, what happened, I personally and our customer service team just did a presentation to the whole hospital. And one of the things we put in, it was an hour and a half presentation, and that's where we did the Thriller dance, and apparently that will be coming up on YouTube pretty soon.
Oh, yay!
Momentarily. Actually, it could be up right now. I don't know. But as soon as it is, I'll put it on my Facebook page. But nevertheless, in that 1.5 hour period, we showed, I think it was a CBS or NBC interview with Dick Hoyt, the father,
mm-hmm.
and his son. And it was a very, very moving experience because they give you the background. Are you familiar with the Hoyts, Joan? It's a gentleman whose son was born with cerebral palsy.
Yeah.
And it was an actual viral video all through the internet at one time. And I remember Buzz McGuire put it up.
He
also
pushes him through the races.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
A powerful thing. Yeah.
Very
awesome.
Powerful. And this gentleman, his son is extremely aware. He actually lives in his own apartment. And he speaks through a computerized, high-tech kind of apparatus. And he must have help with people who come in to help him. But it's a really joyful, beautiful thing. And the doctors, of course, told him, I shouldn't say of course, but so often, they give the worst proclamations and diagnoses. And they told the father and his mother that he should be institutionalized as soon as possible. But they refused that, and on the show, people would write in who have been touched by the Hoyts because they maybe are self-centered or they're not, giving their extra self to their families or to their society or to their jobs or anything. And then the second part of this was the actual races that they ran. And a lot of came up here was the Boston Marathon, and Dick Hoyt says his favorite race is the Boston Marathon. If he continues, which he of course will with his son, that would be the one race he would do religiously. And I thought, my gosh, I bet they know Mary because of everything that you do. And all of a sudden, I got very excited, and I right in the middle of this thing, and I knew it wasn't polite to get out my cell phone and start typing away, so I just let it go for a while. But I knew it. I knew not only that you knew them, that you had to know them pretty well, I would think.
Well, this speaks to the whole synchronicity thing that goes on. And when you asked me about Team Hoyt, I was like, well, this is really crazy because I had just gotten our package. They've donated my husband's running Boston Marathon for Children's Hospital. He works there. They saved our daughter's hearing. And we just felt really called that this was our next mission. And, of course, Team Hoyt, they have a foundation, and a big part of their foundation is affiliated with Children's Hospital here in Boston because they have given the equipment to Rick that he needs to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just phenomenal. And so last year at the kickoff dinner for the Miles for Miracles team, which we weren't on then, but they actually honored Team Hoyt. And so I knew that they were very well connected. And I met them in February in Hyannis.
Mm-hmm.
However many years ago now, two or three, right before I was running my first half marathon, and they had a table there, and I went up to them, and I introduced myself, and their motto is, yes, you can. And so I got his autograph, and we were talking, and his Kathy, who works hand in glove with him and does all of his marketing, all of his everything, she and I just really hit it off, and then we just started seeing each other at these race circuits, most recently at Falmouth. And so I was telling Kathy that Tom's running for Children's, and so immediately she says, well, if we can't make the fundraiser, what we'll do is we'll donate so that we have take a chance at intermission. And so she, I had just when you had sent me that tweet, I had just opened the package from them, and they donated a signed book and a T-shirt, and the dog tag, which says, yes, you can, which actually I wore the yes, you can dog tag at the Tufts 10K this year, which was my first 10K after my hiatus last year. So I just get goosebumps with the whole thing. But they are phenomenal, and they are people who – Dick is 70 now.
Yes,
and
is
still,
he really?
Yep, and he's still racing, and it's just, it's phenomenal, and I'm so blessed and so humbled that I am in their company. I mean, you know, it's just, it's really incredible, and the books, you know, he's written several books, and basically what Rick says is that he does not feel that he has cerebral palsy or that he's disabled in any way when he's running. And Dick says that I'm not pushing my son. It's a funny way that he puts it. It's more like Rick is running and I'm along for the ride. I mean, it's
just... Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, yeah. I mean,
Not only that, but when Rick is asked what he would do if he could actually, you know, walk or run, or if he suddenly could get rid of his wheelchair, what would be the first thing he would do? And he said he would push his father
through
a race. And, you know, my gosh, he could have thought of millions of things to do.
It's beautiful. And he just had a feeding tube put in. Because he was aspirating a lot, and so they made the decision. But, you know, again, when you talk with them, it's not a, oh, my God, we have to do this. It's a, you know what, this is our choice. Mm-hmm. And it's just the whole way, you know, when you talk about Easy World, and I loved your quote on Easy World, that Ulysses lives in Easy World, and whether or not he has a tumor.
Yeah.
You know, it's like... I don't know. I don't care. I have this wonderful human companion who's doing mechano magic massage on me. So what do I care?
You know, what is this idiot is pouring this energy into me? And what the heck is she suddenly so interested in? Anyway, go ahead. He actually knows I'm very interested in him. But anyway, go ahead.
No, but you know, and that's another theme too. Kate in the prayer blog, and Joan, you certainly picked up on that as well, is the animals in our lives and what we learn from the animals. Oh my God, you know, I'm just going through this and I'm just getting goosebumps all over again, and I'm just really feeling the energy of this becoming a book.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah.
Well,
I wouldn't do it
for any ego reason.
Mm-mm.
You know, it's not ego. It's just that I think that there is absolute spiritual truth there, and everything is encapsulated beautifully every day, yet it seems to evolve. And, well, of course, you know, I have so many interests, and I can't help but pull those in, too.
Mm-hmm.
But
Warren Beatty.
But everybody that reads it, Kate, will take what they need from it. It's like, you know.
Yeah.
Warren Beatty. The JFK assassination, single payer.
Payer is a big one, yes.
It goes on,
but Joan
and
is,
on.
Joan, you are so right that everybody takes away. It's like my poetry. That
right.
Everybody takes away. You resonate to whatever it is that you need to, whatever you need for your soul, and that's the beauty of it, Kate.
And as the writer, it's none of your business. You know, it's like...
Right.
It's like how somebody reads and understands this is not your job. Your job is that it's that old thing that I've said 1,000 times from back when I was working at March of Dimes. So the strongest lessons I ever learned was that my job was to do the job, and the results were not up to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my job was to do my job. And I think that's true when we're writing anything, that our job is to do the work. We do the work, and how people take it and use it is their business, right?
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, just something that flashed through is, you know, I'm working with Eric, and it's really amazing because I gave him feedback about something that happened, well, a lot of things that happened during a treatment just a few weeks ago, and he said to me that he was on automatic pilot. He just let the music guide him. He puts his iPod on and he just lets it flow. And he said, and I told him, well, I had a staph infection and I had lost use of my right arm for a while back in the 80s. That's how I knew Bernie Siegel, because my nurse then is the one who introduced me. But be that as it may, Well, I had retained a lot of cellular memory, both in the scar tissue in the shoulder, and also in being on IV antibiotics and having all those needle sticks.
Yes.
And I didn't realize how much I had held in the cellular memories in my arm until Eric had worked on it.
Oh, and my heavens.
It was unbelievable. And, I mean, I could feel him just releasing all of that. And he said to me, he just, and this is what you say in terms of the results, he doesn't know what the results are going to be. He just gets in tune with what he should be doing. And, you know, I mean, he didn't know that I had, you know, needle sticks up and down my arm for 6 weeks.
But he
was open to mm-hmm. what I needed. And mm-hmm. the other thing that he did was, and speaking about, you know, it's akin to the Meccano magic, I think, in a way, in that I just mentioned briefly to him that I needed some work done on my neck. And once he started working, he said, I could spend an hour up here. And he said, but I know your calves need some work with all the running. But what he did was, and again, he had no idea what the results were going to be, but he was healing a lot of the polio and releasing it that I kept in my spine, in my cervical spine. I mean, it's unbelievable. And the fact that when I had polio, one of the things that I remember so vividly was the doctor putting my head over the side of the bed and seeing that my neck was, it wouldn't bend. And that was just, needless to say, extremely painful. And then they did a spinal tap for the diagnosis. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, we retain those things. And yet, you know, here he was working on it. And, of course, I had to work with him to release it. And, Kate, that's where you say our stories are important, but we have to let go of them so we can enjoy the present.
Mm-hmm.
But those were just two examples of where, you know, he wasn't focused on results. He was just doing his thing.
Yeah.
So it's amazing. It really is.
Well, how did you find Eric? He sounds wonderful.
Actually, we had talked about this, I think, on another show back in August. I met Eric first on Twitter.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And this is really funny because one of my now dear friends who I met on Twitter, he had lost, his name's Doug at Really Not a Runner. He had lost over, I don't know how, he weighed over 300 pounds, and then he was the quote-unquote biggest loser in his Firehouse Challenge. And then he went from losing all this weight, like in a very short period of time, to signing up to run the Boston Marathon for Children's Hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And Doug was really struggling last year. He hit that wall of training where he was just wondering if he could do it. And as he says, I'm really not a runner. So he was looking for inspiration, and he found me. And
mm-hmm.
Eric also was connected to Doug because Eric did a fundraiser for him. And
mm-hmm.
also Doug had done some work with him as a therapist. And Eric basically took like 7 clients and donated all the money that they paid him for the massage and donated it to Doug's run. So I saw this happening on Twitter, and then I started following Eric. Eric started following me, and I was drawn to his Twitter page. And I said, do I really want to do body work again? And I dismissed it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was at the Charles River Run 5K, my first road race back after my hiatus, and there's this guy there, and he's doing pre- and post-race massages, stretches. And I went up to him, and there was a long line before, and I said, well, I'm antsy. I've got to get to the starting line. Will you be here after? Yes, I will be. And then there was this long line afterwards, and my husband said, I said, is it okay if I wait? I said, I'm supposed to wait. So my husband said, go ahead. I'll just walk around. I'll go to the award ceremony. Sure. So I looked at Eric, and I said, you look really familiar. And I said, are you on Twitter? And he said, yeah. And I said, are you friends with a Really Not a Runner? He said, yeah. He said, oh, my God, are you Graceful Lady? And and I spent 10 minutes on the table, and I could really feel the energy flowing through him. And then I wasn't sure, but he gave me a card for 20% off. And I decided to make an appointment because – for 3 years, I wanted somebody who could stretch me and open my joints. I knew that's what I needed. And Eric does Thai body work. He does assisted table stretching. So I made my appointment. And, I mean, I cannot believe the shift in me and how we've released so much. And I used to get the central nervous system fatigue. That was one symptom that was really hard to kick. And since I've been working with him, that's gone.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It is.
Wonderful.
It is. It is. And I think of Ulysses, and, you know, here he was with his little thing, and you know, you just, you put that energy in, and it transforms at the cellular level.
It does. And he is actually acting like a puppy.
Is he?
Well.
Is he with you right now? Where is he?
I think he decided to go to the couch. He was right here. The tumor is still there, but it's shrinking. So, and it's smaller than it was. So, you know what it is. It's just that we have to be with each other. You have to be with people and with animals and your loved ones. Totally focused in the here and now, because there's no telling what's going to happen to anybody. So.
Mm-hmm.
Including Ulysses. So, you know, I could tell myself stories, but I'm not going to the story of, oh, my God, you know, two dogs in 1 year. No, I'm not going to tell myself that story.
Stop
what
it.
Story are you telling yourself, Kate?
I'm telling myself that, actually, he is going to beat this thing.
Then actually he is.
He's beating it, yeah. He is definitely beating it. You know, it's hard to say what's doing it for him, because there's all these prayers coming in and all these well-wishing, and Tom and I are doing a lot of healing work, and I've just gotten a supplement I just started on him, and I can't really, I'll tell you about it in private, both of you, because it's something, and if Steve actually, Steve, you are in the chat room, I'll tell you about it privately as well, but it actually came about through the prayer blog. Once again, Amy, All About Energy, had mentioned it one of the days last week, and she has been using it and has seen tremendous results with other people and animals and so forth. So I can't, like I said, the reason I'm not really free to talk about it is because there's a real clampdown by the what I call the medical Gestapo,
but you might, okay.
Otherwise known as the FDA. So we'll just let it go at that, and I'll talk to you later.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
You know,
well, you know,
the thing is, I was raised with a homeopathic physician, and he had problems with the FDA coming in and trying to shut him down. It's something that people who try to do alternative therapies, it's probably not as bad as it used to be, but it obviously still is bad, because the people who have this so-called supplement mineral are often in danger. And in fact, the creator doesn't even live in this country, so he had to move. He had to move out of the country. So people, you know, it's that kind of thing. I question free speech in situations like this. You know, it's like, why can't we explore things that help us and be open about it and talk about it on radio shows and things like that?
Well, that's
not
where inventions come from, you know?
Yeah.
That's right. Have you, speaking of alternative healing, have you heard of Tong Ren?
No. How do you spell that?
T-O-N-G space. And R-E-N. And what happened was, this acupuncturist, Tom Tam, who's actually here in Boston, he didn't have any sterile acupuncture needles. And I think it was his associate was experiencing, I don't know if it was a migraine or whatever, but she was experiencing some acute pain. So what he did was, he drew her body, and he used the non-sterile acupuncture needles and put them in the picture.
Wow.
And she got relief.
Wow.
And so now there's this whole movement called Tongren, and they're all over the country. I don't know if they're all over the world. I'm very new to it. I mean, in terms of what it is, and basically what it is that they use like a metal cast of a body or whatever, and they do use the needles and put them in the different pressure points depending on what the person needs. But the point of it is that it's tapping into the universal mind, the health. Mm-hmm. And it's focusing all this energy, and actually they do it at Spalding. I haven't gone yet because my schedule hasn't worked out that I could get down there at 5:30 on Sundays when they do it. But mm-hmm. basically what it is, it's healing, it's distance healing. But when everybody gathers and has this intention for health, it's just, it's transformational. And I received a booklet because I belong to this complementary medicine working group at Mass General. And Kate, when you come up to Boston, we'll time it so you can go to one of the meetings. And but this is the kind of thing.
And that will be in 2011, won't it?
Yes, it will. Yes. And then Joan?
Yes.
Are you coming up north at all, or we have to come to you?
I keep playing. I'm going to come up. I don't know how I'm going to do everything I want to do when I come up there, but I keep saying I'm going to do that in 2011.
Okay. All right. That's wonderful.
Oh, that's a good news.
I want to meet you. I want to meet Sheila and
Joanne.
I really want to do that. So.
Where are Sheila and Joanne? Are they up here?
They're right there.
They're right here in Lancaster.
Right.
Okay. So you have to stop there. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I may have to come down there, and then we'll make our way up.
Right.
And then BG is here in New England.
I think
Barbara
she got
Gray.
A job in New York City.
BG's in New York City now?
Yeah. I decided to, as I was reading over the prayer blog, and, you know, she was such a great contributor, and suddenly she was gone. And you know, that's what happens in life often, but I thought, well, I can figure out what's going on with her. I can go to her Facebook page. And I got this idea that she, I can't be positive, but she got a job in an adoption agency for trying to find homes for displaced teenagers.
I saw that, but I didn't realize that was in New York. Okay.
And I think she moved down to New York City. I might be mistaken, but that's my guess at the moment.
Okay.
Well, I got to go back to the acupuncture needles because I love acupuncture. I want to ask you something else.
Yeah.
Because the picture in my head is voodoo.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's what it looks
so
like.
So you've got to be very careful who's doing this thing, right?
I'm sure.
That's
uh-huh.
true. That's
very
true, Joan.
Wow.
Wow.
That's full circle.
Well, I never thought of it that way before, but very interesting.
Because I love acupuncture. But, you know, the thought of somebody, if somebody was going to do that with a caricature of me or of whatever, I'd want to make sure it was one of y'all, you know?
Yeah.
Oh,
they do. They have the Tongren practitioners.
Huh?
Yeah, they have the certified Tongren practitioners.
Yeah. Because you would have
this.
To be. Yeah, I mean, that could
I've
be.
I've heard of it.
Dangerous. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I love acupuncture, and just a thought, and I've had it done on me when I was, oh my gosh, it must have been 25, 30 years ago, and in conjunction with a chiropractor, an acupuncturist and a chiropractor, and it was just an amazing release energy.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I used to go into our chiropractor, and she would say, what do you need? And I'd say, I need an attitude adjustment. You know? And she could take care of that. Just like, you know, turn on Inya and put you on that table and bring me some acupuncture needles, please. I'll walk out of here as a new person.
Yes.
It's amazing. It really is, and it's an amazing thing. But I have also had people that, after she quit, who tried it, and it wasn't nearly as effective. Again, I think it depends on the practitioner.
I think
it absolutely does. It does. And I had a wonderful, wonderful energy healer. She was phenomenal. And she's you know, she helped me during my marathon training to release a lot of stuff, and she was good. And I had a massage therapist. I've had physical therapists, but there's something that just clicks between Eric and me, and my husband's working with him. My husband said he can't believe the difference in his legs. Eric's just focusing on his legs right now because that's where he's, well, with the running, and that's also where he's got a lot of energy that Eric is just releasing. And it's amazing when you find the right practitioner and you have that fit. There's nothing like it. It's just, it's truly magical, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. When you have them, they're a treasure.
So did you find another one, Joan?
No. Have not found anybody that, you know, like I said, I think you have to have the right person. And I think a lot of it has to do with skill, and I think a lot of it has to do with where they are in their insides. You know, I think I think even nurses, even in normal nursing scenes, you convey whatever you're carrying, your inner spirit, your inner self affects that treatment. If you've got an angry nurse, you can forget it.
Oh my.
Yeah, right, Kate. You agree?
Oh, right. Absolutely,
you know, they carry that energy into the room almost. I had
one nurse after I had my reconstructive leg surgery, and they took out the epidural. And what that's, for people who don't know, it's basically having an anesthetic that is delivered through the spine, and it's used to manage postoperative pain. And so my epidural came out, and I told the nurse that I needed to go to the bathroom, but I wasn't able to get up yet. And so she said, oh, everybody feels that way after they have the epidural taken out. And she said, we have to wait. And I said, what do you mean we have to wait? I need to void. And there, we got into this whole thing, you know. And then I said, I want the bedpan. I want the bedpan now. And, you know, she said, well, you're just going to have to be there for a while then because I have other things to do.
And oh, my God.
And so, you know, I just sat there and I just, you know, said my little prayer and everything.
Well,
and sure enough, I filled that sucker up, you know, and I think just to prove her wrong. No. But, you know, that the poor thing, though, you know, I mean, nowadays, you know, I would know that I really need to bless her and say a prayer for her because can you imagine? I mean, you know, how unhappy.
Yeah, and that's common. I mean, that's more common than we like to think. I think I was an adult, and thankfully I haven't spent much time in a hospital. But I was well into adulthood before I realized that I had anything to say. You know, that I could speak my piece and be the one to say, like you, you know, to say, oh, no, that's not what we're going to do, you know.
I think that is something that's very common, Joan, where a lot of, it's like what Mark Twain said, youth is wasted on the young. And and then there's that one saying that people can really start being who they are at age 60.
Yeah.
Well, let's start earlier than that. But still, the whole idea is that we don't grow into who we are until we're older.
Right. And we don't realize, I mean, in my childhood and in my life, the doctors and the nurses and all of that was authority stuff. And so you just did what they said. You know, and then I finally realized, oh, they're working for me. You know, I'm in charge here. You know, it's a flip. It's a flip side in thinking almost.
Well, you know, I don't know if you had a chance to read my blog post about when I met Nan Wally, who is a polio survivor, and she's 80. And she's really dealing with a lot of pain and limitations right now, and I'm praying for her, and I'm hoping that that an angel comes to her to help her with this. And but the point is that we both went to the same clinic. We went to the post-polio clinic here in Spalding rehab. And I think I've shared on this show the fact that the philosophy for treating post polio is if you use it, you'll lose it. And so it's a mentality of fear and limitation.
If you use it.
If you use it, you'll lose it because there's a limited number of neurons, and the neurons are burning out at a faster rate because you don't have as much of a reserve.
Got it. Okay.
And so Nan was told this, and she became afraid to exercise. Mm-hmm. And she said to me that she's so grateful that I didn't take their advice and that I've been able to be this example, if you will, of what happens when you move outside the climate of fear, when you enter into a space of belief. And, you know, I didn't know what was going to happen. And certainly last October the symptoms came back. But again, you know, it took a lot less time for me to get on top of them and to work through what I needed to work through. But it wasn't about the outcome. That's funny, that seems to be a theme right now. But it wasn't about, you know, was I going to be able to run again? It wasn't about, was I going to be able to do whatever? It was about needing to do the soul work, learning how to manage my stress better, and really releasing a lot of stuff that was being held in the body. But be that as it may, what it speaks to is the fact that, you know, I could have listened to the doctors and probably be in a wheelchair now. Because the message was it's a progressive neurological disease and all of that. And so when I sat there with Nan, you know, she just was so hopeful and inspired, and she's going to ask her doctor for physical therapy. Yeah, she's 80 years old. Yeah, she's living in an assisted living facility. She is sharp as a tack. She has, I don't know how many grandchildren and great-grandchildren, but this woman wants to live to be 100. And so, you know, she wants to have a good quality of life. So, you know, that speaks to the authority of the doctor, and this is what Bernie Siegel always talks about, you have to be so careful what language you use. And it's up to us to make our choices and, you know, and do what we will with the information that we're given. Just
right.
Like the diagnosis that Ulysses got, you know? I mean, you have a choice. You can say, well, and this is what I loved when you said, I'm detaching from any and all outcomes, which is great.
I'm not going to presuppose this thing. Because
no.
I think we do, you know,
well,
if we're not careful.
Yeah. Isn't that something?
I think it's about being aware.
Yeah,
I really do, and I think you have to be, again, a certain age before you get that. That, yes, I can buy this, or I can refuse it. I have a choice.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not about denial. I mean, people say to me, that's denial. I said, no. It's not denial. It's that I'm not going to play that game, and I'm going to choose to believe that the best will come from this, and I'm not going to entertain other thoughts in it, period.
Yes.
I'm
just not going to buy the main line or the agreed upon mass consciousness assumptions. That's another theme that goes through the prayer blog, is the mass consciousness agreed upon concepts that people have, and they're very detrimental to health.
Physical, mental, emotional, spiritual, all of it.
Yeah.
All of the
all
above.
Of
All of the above, yes. Yeah. Real interesting.
Just the whole idea of just what the doctors told you, Mary. I mean, what gall says something like that? That says anything like that?
And you know, fortunately, again, you know, I'm so blessed because it was actually through Eric and his mom that I got to the complementary medicine working group. And you would absolutely adore the doctor who created this along with others. And so my first meeting, I met the Essers, Stefan and Tiffany. Stefan and Tiffany, husband and wife. She is a nutritionist. She is a fitness instructor, a personal trainer, a yoga instructor. He is going for his fellowship is in physiatry, physical rehab medicine. And they did a presentation on this whole new area called lifestyle medicine. And again, it comes down to choices. So as it turned out, I had talked to Tiffany before the meeting, and she said, oh, my God, what a story. After the meeting, this woman that I had met at Boston Green Fest, where I had a table, happens to be one of the residents of Dr. Julie Silver, who wrote the book about post-polio and who told Nan, and the philosophy at the Spalding Rehab is if you use it, you'll lose it. She's a resident who's working with Dr. Silver and also a few of the other rehab docs, one of whom is my cervical spine doc, who has a completely different philosophy. Be that as it may, she took my hand and she said, you have to tell Stefan your story. And so I went up to him, and he was so enthralled. He had me email him. You know, I did it in a history and physical kind of way, so that he is going to be using this to give feedback to the physical rehab and medicine community now to say, look, this is what this woman has done. And she hasn't burned out any neurons. If anything, I've rebuilt muscle, I've rebuilt nerves, and I'm feeling younger, better, healthier than I felt in my 57 years before now. So, you know, it's just amazing.
That is amazing.
I love it. Absolutely love it. I'm glad that that's going to be something that will be put out there into the mass consciousness, as it were. And things will change because of it.
Absolutely. And that's this whole thing with lifestyle medicine, is that, you know, they really want to change the mass consciousness of I'm dependent on however many prescriptions, you know, that I need to take a pill in order to be healthy. And what they're saying is you make choices in order to be healthy. And so there's this whole movement of lifestyle medicine, which I think is fantastic, which moves away from the classic medical model of you go in, you get a pill, and then you get more pills, and then you get more pills because the pills that you're taking you're having a reaction to.
Oh, yeah.
You know, yeah.
I love it. This is great. I'm going to look into this.
So it's lifestyle medicine.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have come to the end of our hour.
Oh, my
God. And it's been a delight.
It's
supposed to be, you know. And yep. I have a feeling that something must have happened to Julia, and I hope she's okay.
Mm.
So we'll find out. She probably, today I was on the road without a cell phone, And I had about 45 minutes to get back to the house to do the show. And I thought to myself, this was really stupid. If something would happen that I can't, if something would happen that there was a flat tire or what have you, I wouldn't be able to call Joan. I wouldn't be able to communicate at all with anybody to say how we can do something a little bit different here. So I always think that something like that could easily happen to people.
We all have busy lives, and you don't know what's going on
at any given
time, and it worked out perfectly. So
it was wonderful, but I'm so glad you decided to come on. And
I am too.
Yeah.
Oh, I love you guys
right.
so much. And the funniest thing was I was having a problem with my computer, which is why I had to listen in on the phone.
And that is divine order.
And that
fantastic.
Is divine order. Love that. I'm going to be. I'll play the music for Mother and Child, and everybody have a wonderful Thanksgiving and keep in touch.
I'm thankful for you both.
Keep in touch.
I love you both so much. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Love you.
Love you.